With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
And I'm Evan Novi Williams, and this is the Chicago Bears Are On the Clock sports business podcast, The Sportacast.
They're on the clock. You're just doing draft stuff when we have so much more to talk about. The Bears, they're on the clock. The dole, the public dole. I don't know about that one.
You never do.
I know the beauty of the show is we really don't plan that far ahead of time. We don't do really big discussion. You know, we're just like, all right, what do we want to talk about? Here we go. Boom, boom, boom. We list some stuff and then we get to it. This show feels like the day after Thanksgiving to me. You get a whole bunch of leftover stuff. We're microwaving some topics. I mean, obviously the NFL draft is coming up. And it has become a standalone event. I mean, give it to the NFL. They've grown this thing. It used to be just at Radio City, and I'll say it till the cows come home. I love, for me, seeing the grown-ups. I'm going to say the pot-bellied grown-ups many times in the Zubaz pants. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, when I
say
Zubaz pants? I know Zubaz,
so they've got the stripy things and everything they're wearing is team colors, and they'll agonize over each pick, even though they have probably maybe even never heard of some of these people. And just the collection of folks who attend the NFL draft is quite a group picture. That's all I'll say.
It's remarkable. Just given and I first started going to the draft in probably 2010 or 2011 with Bloomberg, and that was at Radio City. And even that, it was packed for the first day, obviously, but then the second day and third day got a little quiet. Now looking at where the draft is, it's in Detroit this year. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people. I'm not making that number up. Hundreds of thousands of people are going to be in and around for it. It has turned into this huge event that is now traveling around from city to city.
Now, question, hold on, let me interject, if I may. I'm sorry to do this so early in the show.
Yeah.
And we could say, wow, isn't the NFL really smart? And in most things, the NFL is really smart, and they figure out how to monetize. If memory serves, and my memory is getting worse with each passing year, so please tell me if I'm wrong, and I know you like to do that, but wasn't it an accident that they started moving the draft? Wasn't it just like Radio City was unavailable? That no one from the NFL said, hey, I have a great idea, we should move this around. Unavailable, so they were forced to.
And it took a couple years at Nashville. Whenever Nashville was the year that I remember talking to people around the NFL when that happened, and them saying it'll never be in a tiny venue like that again, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have, this thing has fully outgrown even the second iteration. If the second iteration was Radio City, whatever the second iteration was, this thing is now a business property that needs more space, bigger opportunities, more people, a way to reward.
it's the
owners,
NFL. It needs more everything. You name it. It's just more.
I think that's right. So a couple things that are interesting to me about this draft. We're recording this on Wednesday. Obviously, we don't know who's going number one overall. It certainly seems like Caleb Williams is going to be that person. I'm kind of fascinated by Caleb as an athlete and what he represents, I think, for the future of college football and the NFL. He is one of the first athletes to enter the NFL after multiple years of NIL.
Yeah.
He's made millions of dollars as the quarterback of USC. And that changes the dynamic, I think, quite a bit between college athlete and thinking about the draft and thinking about what he's going to get paid and how he's going to get paid, et cetera. I'm not saying that college athletes never got paid before. We'll talk about Reggie Bush probably a little bit later in the segment, Scott. But the outward way in which he gets paid and what he gets paid for now, I think you're seeing it. He doesn't have an agent right now. His father has been talking about Caleb wants equity in the team that drafts him, which is obviously not going to happen. But for so long, college athletes entered the NFL draft and they were either being paid in brown paper bags or not paid at all. And everything seemed amazing and the opportunity to go pro and make money, all that stuff. And now he's not going to take a pay cut, but now you're talking about an athlete who was making millions as a college athlete. Now going into the pros where he's going to enter the salary cap system where he has a lot less freedom than the free transfer portal. The pros looks a little bit different, I think, now for top tier college athletes, particularly in football and basketball, now that they can make money before they go pro.
Yes, but certainly the association with that NFL brand and the exposure it gives you will allow him to greatly multiply the income that he is generating for himself. Like, he's coming in, he understands, like the old dudes, like, what's compound interest? Well, you had to start there. Caleb understands what compound interest is. He understands what equity in a venture means and why, you know, you'll take a point rather than some higher salary. You'll take a little less for the promise of some equity and the future growth of an entity, whether it be the Chicago Bears itself or any related projects that the Bears may enter into. That could be real estate, media, finance, all the things we talk about.
And athletes are, and I know where you're going there, but real quick, athletes are getting savvier about this, as you said. I saw an interesting tweet today on Wednesday from sports lawyer Darren Heitner about a lot of players who maybe would have gone to the draft 4 or 5 years ago are choosing not to go to the draft. He's hearing because now that they get paid for their appearances, the idea of traveling to Detroit to show up at this thing where they're going to be on TV for ESPN and for the NFL, but not getting paid for it, has changed the calculus in their mind about it. So I think there's a lot of different ways like that where suddenly, because you're getting money to get make paid appearances as a college athlete, going to the draft to be on television for these entities and not getting paid for it, I think suddenly hits a little bit different in that way. I also want to talk, Scott, about Caleb or whoever gets picked first overall, their salary. This is one of my favorite sports business stats. When Sam Bradford was picked first overall in 2010, he signed a $78 million contract with $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Last year, Bryce Young was picked first overall. He signed a $38 million contract with $24 million guaranteed. The way the rookie pay scale, which was set up in 2011, right after Sam Bradford was drafted, the way that has changed the way these rookies get paid is really dramatic.
Now, let me ask you the reason. What's the why? And that just does not happen in the NFL. It happens across all sports. And give me the reason. What's the why?
One of the main reasons is that in the union, you have no one advocating.
There are no rookies. They'll sell them out in a heartbeat. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, the existing members are like, they're taking my job.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've already done this. I've already been the rookie. Yeah. I don't need to do this anymore.
So one place nobody's pushing back when they're not in the room to have a voice. Absolutely. There you go. Good for you.
Exactly. I think it's shocking to a lot of people that first round draft picks from 15 years ago were getting paid way more than first round draft picks are now, even though the salary cap and NFL pay in general has gone up quite significantly. Another interesting wrinkle to this, I was just talking to Kurt Bodenhausen in the office right before we were recording. We actually don't know what Caleb Williams is going to be able to sign for.
Yeah.
It's 24 hours before the draft. We don't know what he's going to sign for yet. For a long time, the rookie pay scale was just directly tied to revenue. But when COVID hit, they essentially readjusted the calculation so that rookies didn't get hit too hard by the dip in NFL revenue. They're still trying to make up for that difference now. So the structure is at least hanging in the balance a little bit. But as it is right now, 24 hours before he is likely taken first overall, we still don't know what the Bears are going to be able to sign Caleb Williams for.
All right. Well, all I have to say is one extra points for a Sam Bradford reference. I was not expecting to hear Sam Bradford's name, and I'm happy you did. Makes me smile. I'm like, oh, yeah, Sam Bradford. I remember him. And two, in the realm of, like, this went through my head, but I probably shouldn't share it, but I will because it's me and that's what I do. When, you know, and by the way, all in good fun, all in good fun. We have great respect for and love. But and you, when I say what I'm like, who I'm going to do it about, you're going to know exactly what I'm going to say, and I'm going to ask you to say it, but it'll still be coming from me. No, you referenced Darren Heitner. So you saw a Darren Heitner tweet. What am I thinking in my brain?
Oh, that I actually don't know.
Really? What am I thinking? Because I've said this before. No, you don't want to.
You know he's a huge,
I don't know if you're playing coy or not.
I'm not playing coy. A Florida Gators booster?
No, I'm like, well, he's like, oh, I saw a tweet from Darren Heitner. And again, love your work, Darren. Like, did he have a shirt on? Darren likes his beach tweet shots. He like that's
hey,
all.
Man, that's Miami, I think.
It's a Miami thing. That's yeah, all. But that's all I'm saying, Darren. You probably listen to the show. This is all said in good friendship and love. We I poke fun at myself more than anybody else in the world. So
yeah,
good
Scott's
for you.
I don't have a bond to do it. The shirt off. Tweets.
So good for you. And I'm glad you also knew where I was going when I was saying, hey, if he gets some equity in the Bears, Caleb Williams, if he is indeed the number one pick. Gee, what are we talking about? He can't really take equity in the Bears, but are there ways, and we hate the term salary cap circumvention. I know, they tightly guarded what you can and cannot do, but can he try and find a way in a related entity that does bear the name of the Bears or the logo, and anything associated with the NFL is great. Like the Bears are going, or today announcing a new stadium, right? $4 billion, and the interesting part is they want about half of it paid for public money. Interesting time to be asking for public money. And really, what the Bears like? What's the there's only so much leverage, right? The hammer that like the Stan Kroenke hammer is, I'll go to LA, right? St. Louis, you don't want to build me or you don't want to give me public money, I will go to LA. All right, I'm the Raiders. I want to go to Vegas. You really want a team? Pay for the stadium. And they did, like $800 million, the most, at the time. Buffalo, this one I still don't understand. Maybe it was just the fact that there was some extra COVID funds sloshing around, coffers
exactly
there.
It, yeah.
So they gave the Bills, $900 million, right, in public money. Like, are the Pegulas really going to say, we're taking the Bills out of Western New York or we're moving? Are you really moving the Bears? Who's going to be the person that says, we're taking the Bears out of Chicago? That I'd like to see. But lots and lots of ask for public money here, and it's not the easiest time to pull that off.
No, it's not, and we saw it in Kansas City, the Chiefs, the two-time defending champion Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Chiefs can't get money.
Chiefs and the Royals are struggling. This is like a pendulum, right? It swings back and forth. There have been times recently, if you had asked me 5 years ago, I would have said any NFL stadium is going to have trouble getting this money moving forward. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, all those ones you referenced, the Tennessee, Vegas, and Buffalo got unprecedented amounts of money for their stadiums. So now maybe the pendulum has swung back a little bit. The Bears are going to have a tough time here, I think. They have not yet finished paying off the current stadium that they're in. Part of this deal, from what I understand, is a refinancing of the bonds around their stadium and what the White Sox have. $4.6 billion total, as you said, $2.3 in public subsidy. Good luck. There's a lot of other issues in Chicago right now that I think a lot of residents feel like maybe some $1 billion towards that might be better spent than giving a $1 billion family billions more in public subsidies. So we'll see. I won't begin to hazard a guess again, because we've seen some NFL teams get a lot of money recently that I did not expect them to get. So we'll see where in the pendulum we are. But this is a lot of money, a lot of money. And again, at a time when I do think the public is, at least in some ways, waking up to the idea that maybe we want these funds spent elsewhere.
I think we just, like, separately, but I think we just triangulated. It was sort of draft, Caleb Williams, Bears, now real estate, the components. I think we just triangulated there. And let's see, what are some of the buzzwords we're gonna hear out of the Bears here when they're asking for the stadium? When there's an obituary, we try and guess the words between the commas. I don't know if non-journalists do that, but we do that here in the newsroom. If somebody dies, like, all right, let's see how many of the words, but like the name, like Joe Blow, comma, how many of the words between the commas can you guess? So the Chicago Bears, what do you think here? What do we get? Are they going to get, are we going to get the old, the disadvantage, infrastructure. Yep. How many words do you think we're going to get?
I assume there'll be a big pitch about economic impact. This is Lakefront Stadium. Here's what you're going to bring in. Here are the amount of people that are going to come, all the other events it can hold.
Study paid for by the Bears.
Possibly, yeah. I think you're going to get a lot about within that calculation, how many people get employed there, right? Not just in the construction of the thing, how many jobs get created by building this domed Lakefront Stadium, but also how many people are employed in the Chicago area.
Super Bowls, Final Fours, all that stuff.
And then, yeah, a lot of the history.
It's Chicago.
I haven't seen, I would be shocked, I think, if part of this pitch is we might go elsewhere. But
no, you can't
see within a team's home footprint competition for where exactly that venue is, right? County by county, city by city, or state by state.
Ted Leonsis knows about that.
Ted Leonsis is a great example. David Tepper, when he, the ill-fated South Carolina.
No, South Carolina training, practice facility.
But he was playing different places in North Carolina and South Carolina against each other in terms of trying to get the best package for wherever that project was theoretically supposed to have been.
Should that team be the Carolinas Panthers? Would that have been better? Wouldn't that be better branding, right? Instead of the Carolina? I mean, you're doing singular. Therefore, you are only one question. Carolina. And since you were based in North, you are, you know, and the team is there. You're North Carolina. You completely left out South Carolina. Well, you could have been the Carolinas Panthers.
I think the point of not having a North in front of it is that it is both Carolinas, no? I don't think you need to pluralize it for it to represent both.
I think you need to pluralize the whole thing. Twitter poll. Hmm. No, Carolina is you have made a decision to make it a singular Carolina.
Well, then why would it not be North Carolina?
Because you can
Panthers.
Always say you're going down to the Carolinas when you're going to both. You don't say I'm going to Carolina. People would say to you, which
this
one?
Is a great question.
I'm going to the Carolinas. We were just in
your
South
brain is a
Carolina.
Special place, Scott.
this is what I do not envy myself. That's all I'll say. This is what this is the way my brain works. And my wife, as you know, several times will just give me that, you know, like she used to entertain it, you know, now we've been married, you know, more than 2 decades. She just looks at me with a furrowed brow, like you're an idiot. Like, and I'm not even doing this. So it's really nice though, when I can find somebody new, especially when she's there, who will willingly engage in this sort of Larry David-esque banter. And then I really thrive because I love it, as you know. So, no, I really think we should ask David Tepper the next time we're with David Tepper. Did he think about Carolinas? Like Jerry Richardson, I got it. You moved the team. It was Carolina. So I think, no, you are limiting yourself to one Carolina. You cannot claim both.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
I love this. We're going to, half of our listeners are laughing at this, and the other half are like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever listened to.
But this is what we do in the office, my friend. This is a conversation we will take outside and bring others in. But how about in all the debate, though, public money, this and that, let's look at what the Longs are doing in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Like we're talking NFL team once, but you've got the Kansas City Current, Chris and Angie Long. They had a privately funded, the first privately funded, like women's only soccer facility. Mm-hmm. Great. So that's check that box. Great. And now you're moving into sort of your entertainment district zone, also privately funded, that they're going to have adjacent to the stadium. And guess what they're going to do with that? Make money, like the Battery in Atlanta.
Yeah, they
can do it privately for an NWSL team.
It's an amazing contrast, and shout out to Chris and Angie. It's an amazing contrast between what the two biggest pro teams in town, the Chiefs and the Royals, tried to do and struggled to do, and who knows what they're going to end up with. But that stadium is a historic moment or pillar for women's soccer for the reasons you just mentioned. And yeah, to see layered on top of that another almost $1 billion development going down, and all the ways we talk about sports as platform companies, and when you own the real estate around and you own the team and you own the stadium, all those things start to feed off of each other in a really nice synergistic way. It's fascinating. I would love, if we're talking about questions we'd love to ask NFL owners, I'd love to ask Clark Hunt what he thinks about what the women's soccer team in town is doing, because it is such a stark contrast within 2 weeks of each other to have the public money for the NFL development shot down, and then to have Chris and Angie announcing a smaller, albeit significantly smaller, project, but one that's entirely privately funded.
Well, $1 billion, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and I want to get you in trouble for fun. Now, the proposal in Kansas City was the Chiefs and the Royals.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think would have happened if it was just the Chiefs?
I think it's a great question. It's a great question, right? The NFL is the behemoth. The Chiefs have won a lot recently. There is a
they
lot
love
of
the
goodwill.
Coach. Oh, yeah. Did we even say we're going to talk
we
about
didn't,
the coach?
Well,
no, we
can,
didn't.
We
oh,
can
oh,
talk
that,
about
another
it.
Triangulation. Yeah. Go ahead. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, it's an easy transition. There may be no team anywhere in the country in any league that has more leverage in its city right now than the Kansas City Chiefs do. And the Royals are on the opposite end, right? They had a few good years in the past decade, World Series, et cetera, but this is not a team I think that is wowing people in the Kansas City area, at least right now. I think it's a great question, and who knows if in the future there's a proposal. I'm sure the Chiefs and Clark Hunt are at least thinking about this possibility as well. I do think there is some advantage, even if you don't own both teams, in having a sports hub in a city like what Philadelphia has, for example. I think there is some advantage to that would benefit the Chiefs to have the Royal Stadium nearby, especially if they were to move in unison. But I think it's also, it is a good question to think about how, if the Royals part of this weighs down the Chiefs at all when they are seeking public support.
I just wrote down the three players that come to mind when I thought of Kansas City Royals. So let's see. How many of the three do you think will match?
Oh, my gosh.
I'll say guarantee you, I think two.
None, I think.
No, I think two. If you really think, if you spend time, no, if you perform well, I think
I have a sense of what, okay.
We might because have like you can't just here, knee-jerk like the 2019 Kansas City Royals something. Like really think about the Kansas City Royals. And
for
okay,
me personally, I've got my three. Yeah, one of them I'm actually not even sure if he played on the team. But
what? I don't even know. All right, so give me your three. All right, so I'm going to take it down to one. We're going to match one.
Okay.
Hoping for two, but matching one. You made me go down. Go ahead. What do you got?
Well, I assume the one we're going to match on is George Brett.
George Brett's on my list. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so there we go. George Brett, yes.
The other two that match for me are Mike Sweeney and Brett Saberhagen.
I have Brett Saberhagen. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, Brett Saberhagen.
Look at us.
Number two. But I thought there was also one that you'd get just because it's so iconic, was Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah. So that's a little before my time, I think.
But now you're scolding yourself, though, because Bo Jackson's a better answer than Mike Sweeney, and you're agreeing with me on that.
Oh, again, you're thinking the names that pop into my head when I think Royals,
yeah.
Bo Jackson's not one of them. Yeah.
Really?
Mike Sweeney is.
I just see him climbing the outfield wall, and it's like, that's what I think of. All right, so tell me about tell me about the Kansas City Chiefs coach and how much money he's getting. Beloved, two Super Bowls in a row, going for a third. I guess we could have, Andy, reeded the
the tea leaves.
The tea leaves here. But they didn't have to scrap. I mean, they in essence nixed the final 2 years of his deal and rewarded him with a longer term deal with some eye popping zeros.
It turns out when you win a bunch of Super Bowls and you become a modern dynasty, that's good for your leverage here. You're right. Throughout the final few years of his deal, new 5-year deal for Andy Reid in Kansas City, according to our colleague Kurt Bodenhausen, scoop of his $100 million contract.
First with the money.
It's the highest. He's the highest paid coach in professional sports right now. To put that in context, he's not the highest paid.
Belichick averaged $25 million back in the day.
Bill Belichick had even more leverage with his dynasty a number of years ago. But yeah, it shows the way coaches get compensated is fascinating to me. Our colleague Lev Acabas did a really good breakdown of NBA coaches recently. The highest paid NBA coach, Greg Popovich, would be the 101st highest paid NBA player. So there's 100 NBA players paid more than him. If you stretch that out, the fifth or sixth highest paid coach, Steve Kerr, would be like the 200th highest paid player in the NBA. And he looked at that as a allocation of resources standpoint. If you were thinking about where your dollar gets spent the most, and I understand there's a salary cap and all that, but is Greg Popovich worth roughly what the 100th best player or highest paid player in the NBA is worth? And on the NBA side, you see in the NFL side, you see this huge gamut running from, as we said, Andy Reid, $20 million a year, to a lot of coaches that are getting paid in the single digit millions and on the low end of that. So it is interesting to think about in a salary capped league like the NFL, where you can spend essentially as unlimited amount
whatever you
on
want
your
on the coach.
Yeah, whatever you want to
pay.
Get,
you can give that person equity in the franchise now, if you want to.
That I don't think you can do.
No, right? Not in the coach.
I think the league recently changed its rules. So if you're a non-family member of the owner, you're not allowed to have that. I believe this is true. Not because I think this is part of the hang up around Tom Brady's investment in the Raiders. Is that he was maybe going to be an executive in addition to being an LP.
Speaking of Brady, did you see recently where he said, well, I'm not against maybe coming back in for a late season, right?
I did see obnoxious.
If I'm Fox Sports and you and I disagree on this, I said he's never going to work a game for Fox Sports. This will never happen.
Yeah.
And you were now this would make, if I'm Eric Shanks, I'm like, what do you mean? If you're in the booth, you can't.
Yeah,
like, no.
We're not. We can't,
yeah, we're not doing leave. This if it, like a really good team. All of a sudden, the quarterback goes down in week 16. That's not like that's part of the deal. Like you're in or you're out. So does this cause you to change at least or move a little bit toward my direction? Because he has no business saying that, in my estimation.
It doesn't cause me to move because I just don't believe it. And maybe I should put more stake in Tom Brady saying he'd be willing to come back.
Stake or stock?
Stock, sorry. Put more stock in Tom Brady willing to come back. This just feels like media froth to me, right? Like just like saying the
Tom
thing
being,
that he
Tom
knows
chumming
is not
the waters
happen.
For fun.
Yeah, chumming because he knows he's going to get a ton of attention. I don't. It would be interesting.
Just what Tom Brady needs, more attention.
I have no idea, but I would imagine his Fox deal probably includes some language about him going back or what happens if he decides he wants to be an NFL player again.
Don Yee on line one. I don't know.
Going back to his Raiders stake for a while, there was conversation about whether it was a conflict of interest for him, if he was going to be sitting in all these team rooms as you do as a Fox broadcaster and talking to the coach about strategy, if he was an LP holder in one of the teams and also maybe going to play at some point, maybe that same year. Yeah, I think these are all really interesting questions that Fox and Tom need to hammer out. Because, yeah, if I'm an NFL coach and I think that Tom might play for my rival or I could play against Tom in the playoffs, I don't want to sit with Tom, the broadcaster, and walk him through my game plan and my personnel and all that. So there's some really interesting questions, I think, that pop up there. But for me personally, I just don't believe that Tom even would consider playing NFL again, and maybe that's naive.
Or, and this will require somewhat of a certain age, or do you go Greg Brady on him? And if you're playing the big Westlake game and you leave the wrong playbook, knowing that Marsha's boyfriend, the quarterback, I believe, for the other team is going to steal it. Do you do that? Do you play chess
deliberately
on Tom Brady? That's what I meant. Those of a certain age will know exactly what I'm talking about.
You'll know because Tom will be calling a game and he'll be like, "Oh, I talked to the coach about this. This is what's going to happen." And the exact opposite happens.
Sweep left and they go right.
He's that's exactly right. Maybe they're just misleading me on purpose.
There you go. And let's finish up with the Empire State Building. We referenced him on the last show, but it isn't often. In fact, I would say it almost never happens where we see a stat where both you and I look at each other and say, "No, get out of here. That's no. And then we're like, "Well, that should have been the lead of our story." You know, since if it surprises both of us, it should be the lead of our story. If I said to you, Eben Novi Williams, who was the leading jersey seller among rookies in the National Hockey League, I think that would be, you know,
the easiest question of all time.
Race for the buzzer and Connor Bedard and bing, number one on the board. Now, if you have to fill in the others, I mean, would you have ever believed that a guy with two goals, one in the playoffs, one in his, I believe, 17 regular season games, two goals, is the number two selling jersey among rookies in the National Hockey League? Congratulations to the Empire State Building.
It shocked me. And I say that knowing that what we talked about, he's so popular among Rangers fans. It's one of the most popular teams in the league. All of those things do seem logical to me.
Still, you and I were shocked.
But there are talented NHL rookies right now who are going to be the face of their franchises likely for a decade or more. And Rempe, as exciting as he is, how guaranteed do you think he has a future in the NFL permanently? I don't know, right? His style of play, he's not scoring very much, as you said. His style of play is controversial. Who knows how long he is, and maybe he'll play for 25 years. I don't know. But the outside of Connor Bedard, Luke Hughes
in New
Brock
Jersey,
Faber in Minnesota,
Adam Fantilli, Logan Cooley.
Yeah, there's so many of these guys who are going, like, we know are going to be stars in this league, are probably going to play for the teams they're currently on for a while. For Matt Rempe, who did not even play a full season, to be number two on that list and top 20 overall. So if you take rookie out of the equation, top 20 overall,
that's even more jersey, which is more amazing. I'm not sure which is more amazing.
It's also wild to me. So it does just show just how impactful this guy, who's not playing very often and certainly is not scoring very often, how impactful he's been financially, at least in his rookie year, and with an impact for fans in New York.
I love going to arenas where you get the people who've been fans for a really long time. And, you know, like if you go to the Garden, you see like your Eddie Jockum in jersey or your Esposito or, you know, your Graves, to bring it a little closer to the current day. I don't know if 30 years from now there will be a single Rempe jersey sported at Madison Square Garden.
It'll be the like cult classic, right? It'll be the jersey that people have.
Ogie Oglethorpe.
I had a Ray Ordonez Mets jersey growing up.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Which I loved, right? And diehard older Mets fans loved it. And a lot of the younger fans were like, "We don't even know who that is." I think Rempe could be that also. Who knows? We'll see what happens in his career.
I will say it reminds me, and I will not name this person, but a friend of ours who you certainly know. He had a thing when his kids were growing up. He would only buy the jerseys of players that had done something really wrong, and therefore they were in the discount bin at Modell's, right? Like, he would not pay more than
Burris jersey.
Yeah, he would not pay more than $2 for the jersey when the player did something wrong. And to see, and his kids have no idea, and to see the kids, like, I would really look forward to seeing the kids at events, just dying to see which jersey they were going to be wearing that day, because I got to laugh every single time.
I'm trying to think if I think that's better or worse than getting your kid a jersey and signing it, pretending to be the athlete. When is Jackson getting his Matt Rempe signed jersey?
You going to put the video I sent you on the Twitter?
I can.
Yeah, I don't care. If you look at the jersey, again, it was $20. You know, I can buy 200 and like give it to the kid who's just going to ruin it, or $20. Remember to stock it on a Visa gift card, people. I'm trying to do a public service announcement here, and it's a pretty good looking jersey. And of course, the signature to boot. I mean, that was the pièce de résistance. Good looking signature. If you look it up, it kind of looks like the way he signs. Yeah. Neither are. If there's anything I can say, nothing is authentic. The only authenticity is this show. Only here do you get a reference to Sam Bradford at this time.
And Marcia Brady and Ray Ordonez and Brett Saberhagen.
Have you ever seen the Joe Namath episode of The Brady Bunch?
I have never seen a single second of The Brady Bunch. Yeah.
What?
When would I have watched that? I don't watch much TV.
What do you mean when?
20 years before my time.
We're going to go out. You are on the next episode of the Sporticast. You are going to go watch it out here, and then you're going to give a little review of Joe Namath's performance in the backyard, tossing the football around.
I can't wait. Until then, if you would like to complain about Scott's TV references, you can find him on Twitter at Soshnik.
There will be no complaints.
You can find me on Twitter at Novi_Williams.
Someone complained today about
the show is produced by Aaron Greenewald.
Stuff.
Thank you very much to Aaron.
Sporticast
Digital Media Editor Cora Veltman would like
no
you
idea.
To know
Ridiculous.
That you can find the show
Call
at Sporticast, which is the hub of the Sportico Media Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.